Electronics.
Do you want to make more money? Do you want to make more money?
Sure, we all do.
See,
to find out how easy it is to train at home for a better career.
Free information.
More money. More money.
Sure, we all do.
Compare your present salary to the money you put in any one of
your dreams.
The people who have the end of December show, so have your pencil ready.
More money.
We all do.
Sure.
Information you need.
Hey everybody, this is Alan here. So this is funny, I'm like 2 seconds into this, I already have a synchronicity here. Basically, I'm coming to you today to try and talk to you honestly about what's going on behind the scenes at SyncBook. Sort of racking my brain over the last few weeks trying to figure out exactly what to say and how to say this. What it really comes down to is we need you guys to donate. We need everyone listening to these podcasts. It is a free model. It's a donation-based model. But we need people to actually come through and fulfill the other end of that bargain. And I'm sitting here trying an alternative recording method because every time I try and record in my house, I have horrible acoustics, so I thought maybe I'd sit in a car. I'm sitting in a car in a 7-Eleven parking lot trying to record this, and as soon as I hit record, some guy is tapping on my window asking for change. So, of course, I had to give it to him. But I guess the other side of that is that I realize, you know, I don't want to come to this asking for a handout, and that's not really what the situation is. We're just trying to, you know, we all talk about this idea of this paradigm of not being stuck in a mainstream capitalist, everything has to be regimented and controlled model. No, nobody wants that. I think we're all trying our best to fight that, and at the same time trying to figure out how to What is the alternative to that? We don't want to build paywalls and start charging, you know, forcing people into member sections and things like that. We've certainly talked about it, and I know in an ideal world nobody wants to do that. We did have an Indiegogo campaign for the Olympia Sync Summit. And for that, we asked people to contribute, and a lot of people did come through, and I appreciate that very, very, very much. But again, a lot of what I kind of want to talk to you about today is the idea of perception versus reality, right? That's a common topic for us within the SyncBook community. We're always talking about perception and how that changes things. But a lot of times there is a distinction between perception and reality. So here we had an Indiegogo campaign for the Olympia Sync Summit. We asked for $5,000. Now, anyone who was following that campaign would see, oh, we made that goal. And there was some debate behind the scenes as to whether or not to be honest with that, with you guys about that. And I just, you know, I want, in all of this, I just always want to be honest. The truth is that we didn't make our $5,000 goal. We made about $3,000. And that money went to everything in the event. We're still very, very happy with what we were able to do with that money. We still put on a great, great event. But we had to cut a lot of corners, and it meant a lot of us putting in our own money. So, you know, guys like Marty Weeds and Scott Onstad had to cover their own travel, and I spent a tremendous amount of money, not only in the event, but getting to the event. You probably see that I took a massive road trip to get there. I want to make very clear, no one paid for my road trip. Just sort of want to put that out there. The money that was raised, the Indiegogo, went to paying the film crew, paying for lodging, different equipment, and all of the sort of stuff that we needed. It all went right back in, and again, I appreciate everyone who gave. I just also want to point out that we're constantly doing things, finding ourselves forced to do things way under budget. The budget for SyncBook has always been basically zero, or whatever I can scrounge together. We did have, earlier this year, I asked some of the authors, well, actually, I guess I should say, I asked all the authors from SyncBook if they would be willing to donate some of their royalties from the sale of SyncBooks, which I, Alan, have always, whatever percentage I was supposed to get from the sale of any books, I've never made a penny of that. I've always put it right back in. I don't say that for any other reason than just, again, to, let's talk, what is the reality behind the scenes here? So a lot of the authors did volunteer to donate their royalties, which, again, were never huge numbers. We're not talking huge numbers here, but if everybody had made about, you know, $50 within that year, and a bunch of people gave that in, that certainly helped to float us through a lot of the costs that come up with doing this. It is a digital format in a lot of ways. The cost is generally just time. It's hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of work put into this. There are, however, some costs, things like microphone. I really need to get a new microphone. So does Will Morgan. You know, some of us have started to sound pretty shitty on the air and would like to rectify that. But things like we've had to pay for a whole bunch of server space. I don't know, a lot of people had complained about issues downloading the podcasts. We've just finished a massive overhaul and backed everything up onto a new server that we're paying for. And I want to thank Guillaume very much for his hard work in helping to set up this new system. That being said, please, if anyone experiences any kind of issue with playback, if any of the episodes, the old episodes, don't play for you, please go to thesyncbook.com/contact and let us know. We are trying to keep things running as smoothly. We did our best to kind of test everything, but there's over 450 MP3s at this point. It's a lot to test and make sure that everything's working smoothly. So if anyone comes across anything, please let us know. Let's kind of get back to the model here that we're trying to do. Everything is donation-based. We don't want to do advertisements. I don't want to put ads on the website, nor do I want to put ads in the podcasts themselves. You know, you look at so many websites that started out as quasi-legitimate news outlets or writing, or, you know, everything from Huffington Post to IO9 to Disinfo, you know, these have all become things that are just click-based aggregators where the content is super shitty, trying to just get as many views as possible, and then it's disposable, move on to the next thing. There's less and less substance there, and more ads. I'm also a consumer of this type of media. I see how quickly that type of thing destroys any kind of integrity that any of these websites have, and I certainly don't want that to happen to SyncBook. It's something that myself, as well as the amazing members of this team that I'm blessed to have on my side, have also put in hours of their work. Douglas Bowles is an amazing, you know, does amazing work week after week with 42 Minutes. With Will Morgan, constantly, week after week, they're able to produce a show. You know, here on Always Record, we have David Plate, who's always amazing, and John McGuire, who I actually feel kind of bad. I asked him to come onto the show, and I feel like I've kind of left him hanging, that I haven't been able to put in as much of the support that I would want to offer someone who I've asked to join us on a show. But John's been an incredible, incredible support and team member in all of this, and I really appreciate his contributions. That said, you know, even in all this of not the weeks that I've missed from doing the shows, I'm still doing a lot of the editing, I'm still doing a lot of the production work and all that sort of stuff. Every time there's an episode of Always Record, that's at least a full day's work for me or whoever else ends up doing it. David has picked up doing a few episodes of editing and producing them. John McGuire has really pitched in that respect. But again, this comes down to a full day's work for anybody who wants, you know, anybody who volunteers to pick up some of the slack that I just can't do everything. And it's a tremendous amount of work that goes into this. Even a show like Always Record, it might seem like a super casual conversation, but there's still a tremendous amount of work that goes into it. This is not a pity party. I feel really honored that I get to do this kind of work, and I enjoy it. I enjoy it so fucking much. So I don't want to, you know, I bounce back and forth in my mind, you know, should I just be super appreciative that I get to do this kind of thing and that people are listening and are interested? In one respect, it's a huge honor. And I want to always kind of stay grounded in that. And on the other hand, I do sometimes feel like it gets taken for granted. You know, do people think, oh, someone else is donating or someone else will take care of it or what? I honestly don't know. So I would love more feedback from everybody. If you have ideas, if you have suggestions, if you can kind of maybe just tell me, what does it seem like on the other side of the microphone? What is your perception? I hear from people all the time how professional our website looks and how nice everything comes across. But then I also wonder, maybe it looks too good, and then it seems like, you know, we have some bankroll supporting us. We don't. We all have day jobs. I've just spent the last 6 days working double shifts at a restaurant. I mean, I work a tremendous amount of hours just to cover my own personal bills and whatever comes up for SyncBook. And everybody else on our team does the same. You know, Marty has a full-time job. Doug has, I think, like 3 jobs. You know, these guys are hard-working dudes. So nobody's slacking. Everyone's really trying hard to give you great content. And at the same time, there's this really... It's a really big question, because there was a conversation that was had. Marty Weeds made the point of how many mouths we have to feed, even if we were able, whether we had a donation-based method or some sort of members section, whatever money was coming in, the idea would be we'd have to split it amongst everybody, and that there's so many people working on this that whatever money could come in would quickly get spread very thin and wouldn't amount to much, right? And there is there's a real truth to that. There's a real scary something there. Even with, you know, the SyncBook, I've always split that money with all the contributors. I've been told by other people in publishing, you're crazy to do it that way. But my thought is, there's 26 authors, there's someone who designed a cover, Justin Morgan designed the cover to the first 2 SyncBooks, Jason Brera helped me with the editing. These people should be getting their, you know, an equal share of all this. So that money has never amounted to much. I was always sort of okay, always just reinvesting it. But, you know, going forward, it doesn't seem sustainable in any way either. So there's something really, in one respect, kind of scary about that, is moving forward as this SyncBook gets more and more professional, requires more and more work, what is our business model? And that's hard, because none of us are business people. None of us have that mindset. We're artists, we're guys who enjoy the thinking and creative aspect, but this is a new intellectual challenge that I'm really trying hard to kind of wrap my mind around. I was thinking of asking everyone to, you know, let's set a goal of 100 people signing up to give $5 a month. If everyone gave $5 a month, we got 100 people to do that. That's $500 a month. Now, even for one person, let's say I was taking all of that, which I'm not. And again, we're not even making that kind of money, unfortunately. But let's say I took it all. It's not like I could quit my job. You split that up, and it's even more. You know, it's not much. That being said, I think I would still really like to set that as at least a goal that we can see that there is support there. As I said, I work as a waiter. I'm used to a tipping method, you know. Basically, I provide you a service and you pay me what you think is appropriate. Of course, there are certain societal norms, you know, that sort of play into that. And sometimes I get burned, and sometimes people are generous, but it's a system that I'm kind of, you know, really comfortable with. That's how I make a living. I want that to work here. Trust me, I really want this to work. I think we all do. I've spoken to everybody that's part of SyncBook, and I mean, I've known these guys for years. They've all got amazing hearts, and they put so much effort into this. And everybody really wants this to keep going. Nobody wants to stop producing content for you. Nobody wants to hide things behind paywalls. And then at the same time, just trying to figure out, okay, so if we're all working so much, and then the workload keeps growing exponentially, there comes a point that something's gotta give. You know, something. It's just not sustainable. I wanna stress how much this is a team effort, and how grateful I am for the support of my teammates here, and for the people who do contribute. We do have some regular contributors, and you guys are fucking awesome. So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to make this about me, but I can only tell you, again, the reality of the situation here is I did my best to carry this thing as far as I could since 2010. I have been doing SyncBook as a full-time job, but getting paid nothing. It's actually been costing me money to keep this going, and hours and hours and hours and hours. So, I work full-time to pay my own bills, I work full-time to provide everyone content and to build a platform so that we can all celebrate Sync. It's what you know, it's awesome. I feel honored to be able to do it. But that workload just keeps increasing between editing videos and editing people's books and editing podcasts and doing website design. And we have all these experiments we've had of trying to keep a Facebook page running, or different things of, you know, try and do some sort of social media and promotion, and all the sort of half-assed attempts at being more business savvy or growing this, you know, getting all this stuff out there. We are really trying to do that, but it spreads us all really, really thin. One really good positive note here that I said when Marty Beats made the point of how many mouths we have to feed, you know, I said, well, we have twice as many hands to do the work. And that's something that I keep kind of reminding myself, is we really just have an amazing, amazing team here. And I hope you guys appreciate them as much as I do. And I hope we can figure out some way to make this more sustainable together. I want your input. I want to know, can you guys sign up for a $5 a month donation on PayPal? There are ways to set up reoccurring payments. If everybody could set up $5 a month, we can keep it free for those who can't afford it. I think that would be pretty ideal. We have, the only person who's being paid right now is Guillaume. He took over a lot of the website coding and updating the website every time there's a new podcast and all the stuff like that, all that sort of behind the scenes tech work. Guillaume picked that up and has been a tremendous help, and I have been giving him something. It's not a lot of money, but I have been giving it to him to just for me to have extra time to put into other stuff, so that basically your donations have bought me time. I've been able to pay somebody else to help out and take over one of the other tasks that otherwise would have also fallen into my lap. There's someone, JJ Draw, who unfortunately is not being paid, but who has been an incredible assistance and volunteer to do a ton of video work for us and website work for us. And I would ideally like to compensate him in some way for all that he's done, but until that day, thank you, JJ, you're incredible. Oh, so that was a thought I had. In addition to videos, there's another note here, is I've spent every free moment of the last month editing videos from the Olympia Sync Summit. So I hope people are watching them and enjoying them and taking advantage of that being there. Go to thesyncbook.com/Oli2014. There's a ton of presentations. I do plan on, I'm going to try and keep this going. I'm going to try and keep producing more of these videos. We have a presentation from Marty Leeds and from James Evan Plato are already out. There's an interview I did with Bill Klaus, another I did with Paul Weavey. Those are already out. Almost done with the film segment that was myself. I showed what I have of the Suicide Kings video, as well as Rodney Asher. I did a live interview with him. And then Will Morgan did this amazing presentation, which was filmed. And we're going to compile those three different presentations into one long video. And that's just about done, so that should be coming out real soon. So I hope everyone takes advantage of those videos. Check them out. They're pretty fucking awesome. So I mentioned that JJ, you know, has been helping out. And that's something I want to... I don't exactly know how to coordinate this, but this was something I was thinking is, like, if there are people who can't give financially, and I understand not everyone can, maybe we can figure out ways that there are other things that can be done that you can lend your hands. You know, maybe there's work. There's always so much work to be done. Maybe we can find ways to kind of divvy some of this stuff up. If people lent some of their time, and basically that's, you know, we have this weird thing, right? I give time at a job to get money to buy resources. I'm asking you guys to donate money to basically buy me some more time that I don't have to be, if I could just work a few less hours, it's more hours I can put into the ThinkBook stuff. It's basically, it's like the money becomes time, time is money, right? All that sort of stuff. Well, I'm asking for money, but maybe if you don't have money, maybe you can give me some of your time, and maybe there are ways that we can ask you to do some of the, pick up some of the tasks that need to be done. I don't exactly know how to coordinate that or manage that or what that would entail, but if people have ideas, again, I'm kind of trying to reach out for input here. We've racked our brains, we've talked about it and talked about it and talked about it and talked about it, and we're, you know, kind of very reluctantly looking at this reality that I'm trying to share with you today and trying to figure out what that means. You know, does that mean a member section? Does that mean... I tell you this, it won't mean advertising, because I'm not going to put advertising on this stuff. That's just something I just won't do. You know, so that's it. You know, I mean, basically we're in a situation... If you enjoy this, and I know there's a lot of people download these shows every week, I don't want to be a dick like this, but to say there are hundreds of people who download these shows every week, Every time we put out a show, there are a lot of you guys downloading. And I'm so glad you're there. I hope you're enjoying. I hope you continue to enjoy. But that also means that there's that many ears out there. There's also that many hands out there. There's that many pockets out there. If everyone can chip in a little bit, this would go a long way, even as a show of, you know, good faith in this system. Because the reality is, if the donations are not coming in, we are going to have to figure out some sort of less ideal scenario. And I don't want that any more than you do. Again, I don't want to force anyone to a member section. I don't want to do advertising. It would be awesome if we can make this new paradigm that everyone's sort of hoping for and talking about and thinking of. You know, we can start moving in that direction. I don't expect the entire Western world to change overnight. It's just not, you know, that's not the way I am. I don't have that kind of expectation, but it'd be awesome if we could move in that direction. So I am asking if you can donate, please go to thesyncbook.com/donate. Please set up a monthly subscription. If you're a listener of Always Record and you're hearing this, yes, the Always Record production schedule has slowed down. That's because for me to get to Olympia, I busted my ass working like crazy, saved up a bunch of money. I spent more than that on this trip. Now I'm back trying to make that money again. In addition to that, I'm trying to edit the videos. I'm trying to write a book. I'm trying to make my own film. I'm trying to edit people's podcasts and all these things. Really trying to keep some sort of production schedule here. What I will say is, there's only so many hours in a day, so everything kind of comes down to priorities, and certain things hit a chopping block here and there. Always Record, unfortunately, as much as I love this show, has become something where, okay, we don't do a show this week. Okay, we don't do a show this week, but if that turns into 3 weeks, 4 weeks between shows, that's kind of sad for me, and I assume sad for you. So, what I will say is, if more donations come in, I will treat this as a priority and make sure that the Always Record production schedule kicks back into a regular schedule. That would be, again, where you can contact us, go to the contact page, tell us what you want, because if you're cool with Always Record once a month, cool. Let me know that. If you'd rather see videos from the Olympia Sync Summit, that's what I'll spend my time on. If you're saying, hey man, I don't really care about this event stuff, these event videos, but man, I really want to Always Record, let us know. I can figure out where to prioritize, give you what you want, because I love making all of this stuff. So if you tell us what it is that would keep you happy and ideally donating, that's where we will focus our attention. Yeah, I don't know. Again, I really welcome any input, and I want to continue. But I guess what I really, this is where I want to end, is when I was out in Olympia, I had a conversation with Misty Greer, and we were just talking like how awesome it was to kind of be there and talking to each other, and we had this moment. I don't know if it was as significant for her as it was for me, but it was just this moment where I realized. It was a realization for myself in that moment where I was talking to her, and of course I'm stressing about money and how do we pay for this event and blah blah blah, and we did sell tickets, and so like I'm happy that people bought tickets, but it was in this moment that I was just like, I'm meeting this person for the first time, all I know is that they bought a ticket from me, but I was enjoying their company, and I'm like, this is awesome that we're able to be friends. I don't think of you as a customer, I think of you as a friend, and how great that was, how great that felt. That was a really genuine moment, and again, I wasn't like just lip service, because it was a realization in that moment. I didn't know how I would feel, I don't know, you know, and as I've been racking my brain about how to have this conversation with you, that's the same kind of thing keeps coming up for me. It's like, I have spent the last few years doing this show where we've bared our souls trying to honestly explore these subjects together and never hold back anything and be as honest as possible and as vulnerable as possible. Why am I now going to suddenly come to you and treat you like customers and figure all that sort of shit out? I'm sorry, I'm a terrible businessman. I'm sorry to my SyncBook teammates that I am a horrible businessman. I'm sorry to my wife and to my own, you know, the people that I owe money to and my bills and all that sort of stuff. I wish I was better with money. The truth is, I just want to keep exploring. I want to keep this going. I do this as a labor of love, and I guarantee you that everyone else, Marty Leeds, Will Morgan, Douglas Bowles, David Plate, John McGuire, Andras Jones, we're going to have a start a new show with Ezra. John McGuire's going to start a new show. He's doing his own show, a more science-based show. Everyone wants to keep doing this, and everyone knows there's no money in it. So I guarantee you it's a labor of love, but for real, it would be awesome if you could show us some of that love back. And that's what I'm asking for. And I appreciate everyone who has donated either to the Sync Summit or for the radio, all this sort of stuff. Let's please keep this going. Let's work together, do our best. And yeah, that's, thank you. Thank you all very much. Have a great night. Bye.
I get money from you to tickle your whim or blow up your mind. Then I give money to you, and you pay me back in kind. Now I gave money to Bill, he pays up my bills and helps me make up my mind. And I give money to Bill, and he will be on my side. Now I gave money to Joe, cause Bill said he knows he'll pay me back in time.
I'm gonna be able to speak so much, but I'll be able to type in the dialog box. Is that okay?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. So, how do you do?
Good, yeah. I've been just, you know, busy the last few days and everything, but good.
Yeah, I know. I know that you've been busy. What you mean, other than the work that we've done together, you mean?
Yeah, but it's all good. All good. It's, sorry, I'm trying to find... Add to call. Let's see. I don't know why...
Who is Present Dreams that I see?
Who's Present Dreams?
Present Dreams. Yeah, there's a guy logged... called Prison Dreams.
I have no idea who that is. In the call?
Yeah, sure.
What do you mean?
I mean, there's Marty Leeds, Prison Dreams, and Alan Green.
Yeah, yeah, there's a guy named Prison Dreams here.
Prison Dreams?
Yeah. Prison Dreams, yeah.
Is this somebody from the NSA? I don't even see that. I see, even here, Alan Abdescreen added Guillaume John McGuire to this conversation. Alan Abdescreen added Douglas Bowles to this conversation. Alan Abdescreen added J.J. Draw to this conversation. Alan Abdescreen added Marty Weeds to this conversation.
Where oh, look. You... Look.
Definitely not.
That's weird. And do, Marty, do you see the pic? The picture? It's like an old woman, I don't know.
Oh, maybe that's...
Yeah, it's the girl. It's the girl from The Golden Girls.
Okay, that's John. Oh, yeah. That's John McGuire.
John McGuire. Okay.
Okay. Okay. I didn't. Maybe that's his YouTube. Okay, so maybe I change. Maybe that's how I have him in my Skype. It says John McGuire. Maybe that's his. Let's pull it up. Like that's. Yeah, Prison Dreams. Why is that his? Now we have to ask him why that's his. Why is that his?
Dude, Skype. You're freaking me out, man. Man.
You guys kind of freak. You're like, I see somebody. I'm like, I don't see that person. Who the fuck are you talking about? That's pretty funny.
How's it going, gentlemen?
Good, yourself.
Oh, fine.
Hello. Hello.
Hey, why?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, why is your thing Prison Dreams?
Because my best friend's grandmother wrote a book called Prison Dreams, like profiling the patterns of dreams of people that have spent time in jail. And so you look at the back of the book, and it's just like this very, like, I don't know, this grandmotherly looking woman that wrote a book on prison dreams. It just all struck me as very ironic and funny. So like, I just adopted the name and stuck it in my Skype name because I was in the mood.
Gotcha.
There was no other real relevance beyond that.
Sounds like a fascinating book also.
Well, I'm sure it is. I wish I like read it. But at the time it really was just like, I was in a more ironic mood. And I'm just like, oh, that's funny. But I didn't care to learn anything.
Okay.
So. Is my mic fucked up, or is it actually working this time?
You sound really loud in my ear, but you're good. I hear you.
Okay, well, I can back it up. That's fine. Fine. I just usually I feel like I'm not. My connection is shit. So
hey, Marty,
Marty,
I saw you on Facebook saying that you're an ISIS terrorist.
What's that?
I saw on Facebook you said that you're an ISIS terrorist.
Yes, I'm a terrorist. No. ISIS is the mother goddess of Egypt.
I know very, very,
oh,
very...
Oh, obviously. Did you like that post, or was it too much?
I loved it. No, I loved it.
I never know. Oh, yeah. I just post that shit and then see where it goes.
I mean, I have to imagine... What percentage of the world do you think still recognizes the name ISIS? Like, as a goddess? I would assume a pretty large... percentage of
dude, yeah. You know what's so funny, man? I literally, when I went to go post that, I went to Google and I punched in ISIS. You know how many times I've gone to Google and punched in ISIS, and the first thing that comes up is that the Egyptian goddess. When I did it today, the first thing that comes up is like all videos or, you know, images of beheadings and all of that shit. I was like, isn't that interesting? You know what I mean? So if somebody was going to go research this stuff, they would have to actually punch in more, you know, words to figure out that it's, you know, linked to Egyptian mythology.
You know,
which is just so great.
There is a version. I have to find it. There is a version of that ISIS battles Set, and I believe she beheads him in one version.
Really?
And now I have to fucking look that up. I mean, not right now, but I have to make a note for myself to look that up because, yeah, I mean, it's pretty. ISIS beheaded.
Did you know that was officially faked? Did you know they came out and it's been reported that that was a fake video?
Well, it's
so fucking there's all the
obvious
speculation that it was. Yes, well, I mean, it was spotted open source well before mainstream media ever learned about it. So, I mean, it's obvious to us, but I always make note when it finally catches on. So I'm not saying it to be like, oh, guys, get it. You know, I'm just pointing that out.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Interesting. Very interesting the way the media works.
Alan?
Yes?
You were saying how many people know who ISIS is. But here in France on TV, they were were talking about the fact that many people are called their name Isis, you know, and that it was a problem because they were mistaken for the terrorist group, and so they were explaining who Isis was and all on old TV, you know, during
actual women with that name, you know, like normal people with that name.
And so, you know, and the people that didn't know who Isis was, they've had their explanation lately, you know, because they were explaining it was a goddess and all that, you know, on TV.
Hey, I'm sorry to interrupt, but is this Guillaume or is this JJ?
It's Guillaume.
Okay, all right. Sorry, I don't have you on my contact list or anything, and considering you're under Jacques.
You don't.
All right, yeah I'll add you.
It's an old nickname I have here.
Okay. Called, Jacques Dupont. All right. Yeah. Sorry to be ignorant. I just didn't know. So where's Will? Is he coming or what? Didn't you say 7 o'clock?
No. Will Morgan is going to be here in an hour if we're still going. Doug should be here. I tried adding him to the call, but maybe he's just a few minutes late.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
And Marty is here. And who am I missing? So I think that's it, right? Ezra said he couldn't make it, so I think it's just Doug should be here. JJ is probably asleep.
I think so.
Yeah, it's 4 a.m., right?
It's 4 a.m. Yeah.
Why is 4 a.m. easier for you than 5?
Because, you know, I just tried not to get asleep before the call.
Gotcha.
So then I'm going to sleep after.
I understand. All right. Right.
Yeah. And I told Jeremy that I was sure he would be asleep, and he told me no. Oh, why? And now he's asleep.
Okay, now I just looked it up. It's the other way around. While Horus and Set are fighting, Isis gets decapitated.
Isis gets what?
Isis gets decapitated. So Horus and Set are battling, and Mama comes over and she's like, you know, blah blah blah, and then she gets decapitated while Horus and Set are fighting. I'm gonna.
Amazing.
Yeah. I did a blog actually. So this is it. Just it. I'm actually looking on my own blog. June 2012, I wrote an article, and it's all about ISIS decapitations.
Do you have a link?
Yeah, I will put this, I'm going to put this in the kitchen sink. June 2012, just saying. Sorry, I have two computers open, and I'm kind of retarded at this moment.
So. Multitasking, man.
Yeah. And I got a hand on my, and I got a hand on my dick. Sorry.
On a lighter note, there's a Bill and Ted 3 coming out, which is super exciting.
Is there really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They're going to play themselves like in their 40 years old or whatever.
Wow. I don't know what to make of that. I feel like it's going to be like a Dumb and Dumber type thing where they try it and it doesn't. I don't know. Dumb and Dumber looks like it's shit from afar. Is it out? Yeah. I don't even know.
No, I just read the headline, you know.
Okay. No, not to shit on your parade or anything.
Oh, no. I get all my info from USA Today. So.
Sure. I'm always just talk movies here, man. I'm just cynical of remakes in general. Like the new Godzilla was horrible. Oh, my God. God, it was so linear and formulaic and bad. Yeah, it was disappointing. Don't but waste your time, I would say. Maybe you can find some sink in it. I don't know. You can, like you said, and like we say, or try to say, you can find pretty good stuff, bad stuff sometimes.
And now Doug's calling. So we can have a million people in this call, and none of us will be able to hear each other.
Oh, okay. I can hear you just fine.
Oh, thanks, Doug.
There's a camera on, so if you walk around naked, they can see you.
Yeah, Guillaume, so is that, like I said, is that a camera on your wall?
Because you see something? Okay, I didn't know. No, no, I have no camera.
You do. We can see your wall.
That's fun. So, ready? I don't know. It must be an avatar or something like that.
Oh, okay. That's funny. Your avatar is of your room at night in the dark.
Oh, yeah, that's weird.
I don't know that.
I can see that my camera is not on. Okay.
So your avatar is a GIF of you and your girlfriend dancing naked.
Oh, shit. Then it's me. Okay.
So I'm kidding.
Oh, okay. Because it's actually exactly how I am.
You're dancing.
Yeah, I'm nude.
Okay, so this is what I'm saying, is there is a way to make money off what we're doing, and I think basically we have to sell videos of Guillaume, naked Guillaume, on the internet and make millions of dollars.
Okay, but if I got the money, no problem.
I mean, we could just go sync porn. That is really what the next move is. Just look at a whole bunch of porn videos and then find the sinks within them, you know? 9/11 conspiracies.
It's funny because I think Andras wanted Jake to make a video for a porn actress once.
Yeah. You know, so Radio 8 Ball, right? You know, like he would have a celebrity come in to ask the last question. And for a while, he had, like, some pretty cool names. So he had, like, Seth Green and John C. Reilly and Patricia Arquette. So Jake was making sync films about the person before, and then they would show that film, and then before the celebrity came on. And then I think he was having not like a current porn actress, like an old porn actress, like...
Yeah.
I don't know, Marilyn Chambers? No, what is it? I don't know the name, but...
Yeah.
And like some famous, like, you know, like a Debbie Does Dallas type famous porn actress from the 70s or something. And Jake was like, I am not doing that. But we have Michael Schott, who, Marty, you met in Olympia. That's his blog, actually, is syncing with porn. But, I mean, he uses gay porn, but it's, you know, it's porn. And that's
really? I had no idea. That's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like you'll be reading his article and be like, blah, 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 and then, oh, here's a picture of some dude's dick, and then reading article. But it's he's really one of the best sync writers that I've encountered. So everybody loves his stuff, but it's funny, like, I remember Will Morgan, when I first talked to Will Morgan about Michael's blog, and he was like, yeah, he's like, I really like the writing, but I'm always afraid that I'm just going to be reading and suddenly there's a dick. That's funny. All right.
Okay, so Alan, do you want to explain that maybe the other day you kind of went on a Tom Sawyer type rant thing?
Well, I think in the moment it was genuine, but basically I needed to kick a conversation into gear. What I was realizing is that I really needed to kick a conversation to gear. Like I said, it was very, very genuine for me what I wrote of, like, something has to happen now. But I don't think something needs to change on the website at the moment. I just needed to start having a serious conversation about it, to start working towards it. When Marty and I had a conversation about, you know, putting some of the podcast up as paid podcasts, and I said to him, it would take us a month just to do the internet just to do the archiving digitally to even be able to set that up. Guillaume and I just did it in the last 2 days. You know, so basically shit got urgent, shit got real, and then Guillaume and I went into overdrive and made some. Now, like I said, Guillaume is made it amazingly more easy than I thought it was going to be of the archiving process. That said, it was still a bunch of work, but just basically we this thing that seemed like, well, that it's going to take a lot of work to make happen, just that one step is going to take a ton of work, is now out of the way. And now, just the fact that that's done, it opens up our options a lot. And like I said, I don't think we need to make a rash decision as to what happens. No, we can really have a conversation about it, but the conversation just became a hell of a lot more realistic.
Yeah.
Like, just the options are a hell of a lot more realistic than they were 2 days ago.
In your mind. Because the archive's now on our server as opposed to the free server that we don't have any control of.
Correct. Because we couldn't, right, there'd be no way to put that, ever put that behind a paywall.
Yes.
What's the problem? What do you see as the problem right here? Now that everything's on the server, why can't we put it behind a paywall?
No, now we can. I'm saying...
No, there's no problem now. Yeah. So this was the blockage in Alan's mind. Like, he didn't feel like we had control of the situation, because even if we had some plan, it would take us a month of
Guillaume just points out wrangling. 24 gigs worth of podcasts. Yes. 442 MP3s. So I figured 442 MP3s, 24 gigs, that we would first have to download off of TalkShoe and then re-upload to our server. I was like, that's going to take at least a month. Guillaume found a way to do a sideways transfer that you probably saw on in the admin page how it was done, but basically, instead of that, 442 podcasts are now on our server, whereas 2 days ago, none of them were.
Yeah.
What is the size of an audience? How big is an audience that determines what you do is more on par with the professional level versus something that is a hobby-sized audience? That's a good question. So, for audience size goals, what do you think is a realistic size audience to have to start making enough money to pay one person to do a job?
Marty, you had said, what was the number you were shooting for, even just in YouTube subscribers?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, talked to those guys. They were basically saying that, you know, he had like 500, you know, depending on what the month was or whatever, like when he first started, but he started in August, and he had 500 to 1,000 subscribers paying $5 a month, but he was putting out 2 hours worth of material every single week, you know what I mean, and then also doing all of the other stuff with it, the YouTube, you know what I mean, pumping it, you know what I mean, he made it a full-time job, you know, and that's how he got those 1,000 subscribers. But I mean, you know, $5 a month, 1,000 subscribers, that's $5,000 a month.
Yeah.
Right, so basically that, the idea of doing all that, when you say like making sure everything's getting backed up on YouTube, you know, so you have stuff is being, I think that's a huge next step for us that we've just kind of started, is taking some of these podcasts. JJ has taken on some of this.
But they're not on YouTube, they're on Vimeo.
He uploaded a lot of video on YouTube, but there are problems of copyright.
Exactly, yeah. So I'm saying we actually have to
equip. Right. Right.
Yeah, it has.
And since the YouTube account have been suspended, you know, for a month because of copyright. So the last one you've sent, Doug, without the songs and
things. Oh, it
can't
go up for a month.
Exactly.
But then even that one, would that get banged for copyright because of the intro?
But the general problem is that like the content that we provided that everyone is looking into is obviously going to have copyright infringements along the way somewhere. So that's not really an option. You know what I mean?
Well, if we're trying to grow the audience, the one thing that we're not tapping into is YouTube.
Right.
And so basically what we did this time was I took all the production off 42 minutes and then gave the file to JJ.
This should be good.
So that, yeah. But, and so he put it on Vimeo, but I'm just wondering is if even that introduction with Terrence McKenna is enough for YouTube to...
Any of that stuff can be dinged. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the problem with YouTube, especially if you're trying to make money with content and then get it out. Because, I mean, you know, I try to be extremely careful with that. Like, I always get everyone's permission. If I play a song, I provide my own music. All my videos have no, you know, nothing that can be dinged. Where it was like, okay, hey, we're going to shut down your entire account, you know? And so if you're trying to make money, that's, you know, that's definitely an avenue that needs to be explored. But obviously there's a lot of problems with that. Just that one thing in general.
What I think as an idea, you know, would be to upload the episode without the songs and all copyrights on YouTube, and then put a link to another hoster like Vimeo or something like that with the full show, you know.
In the
YouTube video.
I've learned that I'm a radio guy, and so like I don't like the YouTube experience, and I like the podcast experience, but that's like the people who are checking things out as they're surfing. I think that's a different kind of person than me, and so that's why we have to have it there at YouTube, so that we can.
I know this. I mentioned this statistic just because it's mind blowing that YouTube is the second most used search engine on the planet.
Yeah.
So Google is first, and then YouTube, not Bing or Yahoo or any of that shit. People are just using it as a search engine. So if we're don't have a presence there, it's a huge missed opportunity.
Yes.
Yeah.
I completely agree. I don't want to...
Trust me, Doug. What you're saying is, what do we do about the copyrighted stuff? I know. So as I'm saying, what can be... The small part of what can be done is...
the thrust... of what I'm saying is, I don't know if our audience is quite there yet to make...
Wait, can we first start talking about numbers? How many people subscribe to all the podcasts in general? Like, if you were going to try to get... Obviously, we're going to have overlap there, but how many people subscribe in general? Like, how many people can we reach if we started getting an email list together and started pumping it? You know what I mean? How many people do you think that we could reach? Thousands, numbers in thousands. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important thing, because if you're gonna, you know, first we have to figure out who are the fans are. How do we connect to them? You know what I mean? Directly,
yeah,
as a conglomerate, if you will.
Okay, but so like, can you see putting the Math Magical Radio Hour, the whole thing, behind a paywall, that it's a subscriber service only?
No, but I could easily do 2 hours with any of the guests that I've talked to.
Do like the Red Ice model.
Right. So I think for the longest time we were just going with more of a public radio model. It's like, okay, well, we're going to do this stuff because we're doing it.
Yeah.
We're going to ask people to give us money and hope they will.
So I'm trying to hold out faith in the free model, but the reality is even like, you guys know Freeman? He has tremendously more traffic than any of us do.
Okay.
All right. Due to a number of factors, but he has a tremendous amount of traffic. But he never was able to monetize it. And I used to listen to his show, and every show he would say, hey, I really need more people to donate. Please, please donate. Please donate. I really need you guys to donate. Please donate. Please donate.
So he was all free then?
He was doing, this was back on Oracle Radio, so it was like somebody had a radio station, that radio, or podcast, internet radio, whatever. They sold advertisements, but the network made that money, so he was just a talent, you know, on this station, quote-unquote, right? So he didn't get any of the advertising revenue, and then, so he finally convinced them, hey, can you take the commercials off my show? I'm not getting any of this money. Can you take the commercial off my show? So they took the commercials off his show. And then he just said to the listeners, listen, please, 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 donate, donate, donate. And it wasn't working. Finally said, fuck it, it's not working. He stopped doing his show. He didn't do it for a few years. And I see he just restarted it. But I don't know, doing his own thing. And I don't know whatever that is. My point here is just to say, even with big numbers, even if we had 10,000 people listening, the idea of saying please donate might never work. I don't know what size it needs to be before that works. I honestly don't know. I wish I knew.
But so like there's two sides to that. So there's asking the people to donate, and then there's also actively seeking corporate underwriters, which is what other podcasts call sponsorships.
Guys, you know, I wanted to say something beside the fact of making people pay. We should make a member section, you know, just so that we can have their mail, you know, have a real mailing list and things like that, so that they feel like part of the thing, you know.
The problem is consistency of making the podcast too, because 42 minutes is a short podcast, you know what I mean? Mine is a short podcast, it's an hour, you know, and then we have, you know, Always Record, which is really long, but it doesn't come out where it's, you know, often enough where people are like, oh, I'm excited for next week because I'm going to get a new product kind of thing, you know what I mean? That's the thing. And then you have the problem with people not only people subscribing and like member section, but you know that's once again a lot of mouths to feed, you know what I mean? That's an issue.
Right.
So just to say, no, I'm not saying this defensively or because it's technically my podcast, but actually I Always Record, I think, has the biggest numbers. It's the thing that people do get excited about.
Oh yeah.
Just saying.
Okay, I'm just saying.
You know what? I think I would disagree. Here's how I would answer that.
Because, I mean, 42 minutes sucks. That mathematical radio, whatever that is. I never even heard of that
I
before.
Think you guys have the most vocal and active fans. But
no, but that's not what I meant by that.
I know, I'm totally kidding. No, your point is, to take this, back to your point. Take this back to your point. Yes, and I did notice, so we used to do Always Record weekly and consistently did it weekly, okay? And then what happened is that it became a lot, and I said, okay, well, it's not going to, if people can donate, or it's not going to happen as often. The donations, you know, still trickled in, but I just didn't do it as often. Point is, if I put an episode up, I still get a good, 400 downloads off it, but it was nothing like when it was consistently every week. And I do know that, yes, doing it weekly makes a huge difference. So if something where, you know, if that was what it took was to step up, you know, if that certainly would help. And what you're saying is if you're going to say, hey, you're paying for this thing, you have to be able to say, well, you're definitely going to get 4 episodes.
Yes,
of this
exactly.
Show.
That's my point. That's exactly.
Yeah, I agree. As it stands right now, I'm okay not doing it every week because it's free.
You're not paid to do it. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. And so if we're going to make the step up to the next thing, it's like, okay, we're going to have a subscriber session. People are going to pay $5 a month or whatever it is. Then obviously, like, we need to take the time to make sure that we do that. You know what I mean? Which means that we'd have to get paid to do it. So it's that next transition of like, what's obviously this conversation was built around the whole thing of what's the business model. Right? Like, how do we lay it forward to make it worthy of people to pay us money directly, kind of thing. Right?
Sorry, I was
What are we doing? So, like, I think we do have a commodity. It's just how do we make the people that are enjoying it now? So, like, that was my point with numbers. So I know right now we get between 500 and 700 downloads a week. For 42 minutes. But that's
awesome.
A little misleading because part of that is each week new people find us and they download the entire archive. Or some show hits for some weird reason. So Ezra sets up his website and all of a sudden 50 people download the Ezra episode because they just found it.
So
if I was going to say how many people subscribe to 42 minutes, like what is our actual listener base, regular listener base, I would say it's somewhere towards the realm of 200 to 300, which is
Because you're saying there's other two, like, right, the other 200-300 is people downloading the archives. But,
right.
But what I'm saying is, because look, I get that too. People for Always Record, they're like, oh, I love your show. I'm in the process of going through for back from starting at episode one, and I'm really loving this, and blah, 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 blah. My point is, and Will's point is...
I think it's a sound argument as far as what you're saying, to monetize the archives.
I guess, like just to say it out loud, is to say that Will's point is that that's a great thing, that people can go back to episode one and listen, and I agree. Trust me, I agree. But my other point here, though, is to say that exactly, people want, if they find it and like it, want to go back to episode one. So if you say, hey, the first 2 years of the show are in a paid section, and you find something new and you like it, and you want to go back to hear the first 2 years, then those are the people who would pay. And to say that who's, and Will's saying, well, who's going to pay to listen to it? I'm like, well, the same guy. So let's say 200-300 people a week are going, hey, I want to hear the old episodes. If even a fraction of those paid you to go back through those archives, those are the, that's it. Right? Those are the people who are like, okay, I'll throw them five bucks to hear what I missed out on when it first came out 2 years ago.
I say the only way to know is to test, you know. Because we can speculate all we want, but, you know.
Well, I would like to try and make a concerted effort to get those 200 people to sign up at $5 a month. Mm. I mean, if that's the magic number, like our subscription is the same as Netflix, $5 a month, what you're getting is the quality programs that you've always gotten. And this way, nothing's going to come in between it and you. And you're one of the pioneering... I mean, so we have subscribers already. There's like five of them. And they're awesome.
You're talking about people who just donate every month.
Every month.
Yeah, it's very cool. And then there's the occasional...
But,
like big...
right now, so we've hit a pretty good stride where it's like we're getting... enough to pay Guillaume every month.
Thanks for that.
Which is awesome.
I agree.
Now, Andras, if I could just say so, Andras made the point to me the other day. He said, well, you know, the point of, because as long as there's very little coming in, no one minds that it's not being shared. He's like, but you realize once... even if it's a small number, people are going to say, he's like, he goes, once we hit $500 a month, people are going to want their share. You know, that's when it's going to start being like, well, I deserve a part of that, whatever. So I guess there's a thought I even had was, what if we sort of, this isn't a good long-term thing, but even a short-term thing. What if we, our short-term goal was to make enough money that not even any of us are getting paid, except for Guillaume, who's on the call, but not the host of 42 Minutes or the host of Always Record or Marty Weeds. Even again, you know, you can make your case for whatever you want. I'm not trying to speak for you. I'm just saying. My thought was, what if we could hire another person to make sure? Hey, let's get a YouTube up. Start going through the archives, number one, and just start making videos and make sure that YouTube is done. You know, maybe we're start making $300
a month,
and then you're paying somebody.
Disagree with that.
Okay.
Unless, well, I mean, so like, if we made enough to pay that person, I can't imagine bringing someone else in.
I guess what I was saying is, right now JJ is volunteering to upload our old shows, right? I'm saying if we could throw him some money and say, spend a lot more time on this, do this. And I'm saying, it's just a thought. It's just a thought. It's to say, would we be able to almost snowball it? It's like reinvesting that money. Is to say, like, okay, now if we have a ton of shit on YouTube, that's a lot more people would be exposed to. Does it go exponentially like that? I don't know, but it kind of makes sense to me in my mind. Is if you have, what is it? 400 something hours, 24 days worth of audio. You put up that shit up on YouTube. people were going to be finding it, and then suddenly that's a lot more subscribers to the podcast. It's a lot more people who, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, if you put everything up on YouTube, then you can't have a paid archives, but I guess my point is that, my point is really that if we reinvested, if we even we just said for the next 6 months, you know, so again, just start somewhere like that. Say, hey, let's come up with something that we can charge for, whatever we make for it in the next 6 months, and again, these are just numbers I'm pulling on my ass, is reinvest it and do something where you can pay somebody to do, start getting this stuff on YouTube. Maybe we need, do we need to pay, I mean, again, it's not like a public relations person, I don't want to do that, but I don't know, you know, do you pay for some sort of advertising? Do you pay for a, I don't know what we need. I don't know what we need. I'm just saying, is there something that, if we had the budget, would be useful to get that those numbers up? Because I think we all kind of see, like, if the numbers were higher, and that's what we're working on.
You've raised a good point. If we put all the shows on YouTube, then we can't make the archive being people pay for the archives. Because if it's everybody, if it's free on YouTube, you know, people won't go and pay for it on the website. So you have to find something to get money somewhere. So yeah, maybe advertising, but how?
On right, YouTube? And where? Right, and where? Yeah. You, right, where you advert? Who?
If it's on YouTube, you have to reach so many views. You know, it's like millions to get just a tiny bit of money. So, yeah. So you know, I'm not sure it would bring so much people into the website. You know. Maybe there would be a lot of more people that would be listening to the shows, but we should focus more on the website itself, I think. Even if we have to do more content on YouTube, I agree, you know, because it's important. But
what about doing like a dollar? You know what I mean? Something like a dollar for every episode or something. Or like if I do my show, I'll do a second hour and have that for a dollar or $2 or whatever you could buy. You know what I mean? And you guys do like every other 42 minutes. You put one out for free, the next one's not for free or something. You know what I mean? Is something
yeah,
like that
yeah,
where
yeah.
you could generate direct. It's like, oh, I want to hear more of that. I'll pay a dollar. You know, and have PayPal or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the right way. Really.
Right, and maybe not even so. It's like not only maybe this is a different idea from the archive. Is to say, almost like going forward.
Well, no, you could do like a dollar an episode or whatever. Every other episode of 42 minutes, or however we work that out. But I could do a second hour, pay for that a dollar a second, or I could pay $5 or $6 or something like that for a month to the entire sync book, and I would get access to all the archives. And all, and then I would just put out, you know what I mean, maybe like 5 episodes of my show, that's all that's available, and then automatically it goes into the archive. Same thing with 42 minutes kind of thing. So it'd be, because what we need is a different model than, you know what I mean, that's going to attract people, that it's like, okay, that we can put out some stuff for free. And the other thing with like 42 minutes, that's, you know, as Doug was saying, like, you're just a radio guy. Well, and I think you guys do this though, but you put that out on YouTube, don't you? You put those episodes right out on YouTube as soon as they're done?
No,
actually, that's...
We tried and it gets hit.
No, that's the thing. It's like that's a layer that isn't in my realm.
Because it's... Oh, no. I mean, but all you have to do is have a YouTube account. Because what I did is I just set up a template for each show. So then just plug in the show and then just put it out right after. I mean, all you have to do is upload it. It doesn't take long. It literally
probably
takes me like
exactly
30
right.
minutes.
Yes. It's just... Right. Because my... You know, it's like I'm more of the iTunes person. So like that's been my whole thrust is subscribe to iTunes, subscribe
that
to iTunes.
Should
so it's
be
like
that. No, wait, let me say something. That should be Will Morgan's job, without a doubt. That should be Will Morgan's job, because Will is a video person, and for all that you were doing for and whatever, I'm sorry, but that for all you do for that show, you should be able to hand that video off to Will Morgan and say, here, turn this into a video and put it on YouTube.
Yes, that's probably a good idea. So, like, one of the things that I'm thinking about, so we had Veritasium guy on, right? He mm-hmm. has, I'm looking at his page, he's got, where is it? Why doesn't it say how many subscribers he's got? He's got a ridiculous amount of YouTube subscribers, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
he's just the one guy. And so I think he's making a living, but the idea that, so, like, that's the thing that my brain is having the hardest time with. There's too many of us.
Yeah. That's what Marty said, yeah.
Yeah, there's too many of us. And so I don't know. It's either we have to get our 300 fans to pay, and then we get a little bit of money apiece. So if let's say if I had a brain.
Doug, can I just point something out, though? Do you think the Veritasium, like, because I've been thinking about him all week. Do you? Because he has at the end of his show an ad saying this
right.
episode is sponsored by Audible. But you know,
but
he's
that's
not actually
not really sponsored.
Right,
he's
not
he's
sponsored
part of their
by
affiliate
Audible.
Program.
Right. So that's what it made me realize that he's probably not making as much as we think, even with his million subscribers.
Right. So he's got a lot of visibility, but they might not like. He's got a so like I was listening to this. It's called Audacity of the Podcast. And so this guy was showing how you make money and all the different things that you do to your website to bring in lots of different revenue flows. And that's definitely one, like affiliate program. So if you guys mention the Vitamix and always record, then you go to you put that in the show notes.
Right.
And then you make sure that if somebody buys a Vitamix that you get them money for it
right.
through Amazon.
Right, so the Amazon affiliate.
So you
for
link
Vitamix.
To a Vitamix on Amazon.
And that would be huge.
Then,
that would
you
be
know,
a huge percentage, actually, by the way, because those are like $500 machines.
Right, but so like that's what these guys are doing, but they're usually one guy. So, you know, you think about like the Corbett Report, that's one guy. You think about Red Ice is a lot bigger now, and it seems like maybe there's four of them.
It's only three or four people though. Yeah,
they brought on John Cale, so they hired John Cale, the guy who used to do Cosmic Gnostic, and that's the only like employee of theirs that I'm fully aware of. I know they brought on some other girl within the last year or so, started writing articles on their website, which are terrible articles, by the way. But whatever,
awful.
Right? You know, I don't remember her name, but yeah, you know what I'm talking about. So, basically, they hired people to run some of that content. You know, hey, we need news stories put up, we need some articles written, we need someone to run the Facebook page. And it's basically, so this is the type of thing I'm talking about. That even if we were able to, in the beginning, kind of pay someone doing those types of things, that, anyway, you get what I'm saying. Like, so, this is based on YouTube advertising. I mean, yeah.
It seems, but you know, I don't see how because I have a plugin that stop the ads, so I don't see the ads on YouTube. But I think YouTube, when you make a lot of views, just to answer for Derek, they are paying you. You know,
they are. That's true. So he does definitely get, but I mean. You end up having to find other ways to bring in money, too.
Sure. Sure. And before you get so many subscribers, you know, there's a long path.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right, so is there seven of us? Doug, Will, Alan, Marty, Andras, John, David. I missed somebody. I didn't count you, Guillaume. I'm on purpose.
I know.
Can you think of anyone else, Alan, in the on the like the quote unquote creative side?
No. See, this is the thing that like we should definitely be focused on the website though, because when you're talking about a collective audience, that means that some people are coming for some shows and some for others. So it would have to be almost segregated in some way, where, you know what I mean?
Exactly, right.
Where everyone would get their own audience, and yet it's still beneficial. And that's why the idea of like putting the archives in and then having like, oh, I'm going to pay $6 a month for the sync book, and I'm going to get all the shows, all the archives, everything, and then we could even do bonus material. You know what I mean? Put out the sync book videos for a while and then put them in the archives, and then just do 10-minute segments and then post that on the website, that sort of thing. So there's a draw to get to people to get into that vault, if you will. You know what I mean? And then we could even do more things like, oh, you're also going to get the 42-minute drop box. You know what I mean? And that's going to have Marty's record in it, and that's going to have this person's, you know, art, and this is going to have David Plate's videos. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So is there... Here's a question, Guillaume. If everything was behind a paywall, like, because I've been looking at the WordPress statistics, and they don't show me that people are click, like if someone clicks on the media player, I don't think it's showing in the statistics. Hold on, Doug. Because this is a technical question. I'm saying, since we transferred the things over to the server, because I used to be able to see people click, the statistics, it would say this many people clicked on TalkShoe from the website. But now that this stuff's on its own server, I haven't seen any statistics show up for the last 2 days for that. So my question is, would you have a way of tracking that in the sense that maybe it's something like, if we want to quantify and say, okay, we have 100 subscribers paying $5 a month, so it's $500. Well, this many things were clicked on, you know, 500 things were clicked on this month, 300 of them were Marty Weed's show, 200 of them were 42 minutes, and nobody liked Always Record. Well, guess what? Then, you know, whatever the percentage is goes to Marty, and whatever percentage is goes to 42 minutes. So is there a way to quantify, and I don't know if that's a good model, but you get what I mean? Like, instead of having to sell people, like Marty, what you had said with the Higher Side chat, I actually really liked. It's a much more direct thing to say you can subscribe to the Marty Weed show for $5 or pay $10 and get all the shows. But now I'm just saying, maybe is there a more, and that's still a viable option, but I'm saying, is there maybe a more direct thing where you can say if it's one price and you get the whole deal, but then we can still, behind the scenes, find a way to split it up that's fair. Does that make sense?
That's smart, dude.
Guillaume, is that technically feasible?
I'm just looking at it right now, and it seems I'm not seeing the clicks on the MP3s we've uploaded. I can still see the talk show, but I think it's feasible to count the clicks on which page they have been done. You know, is that what you want? Because your audio was cutting, so
yes, that's exactly what I'm asking. Yeah, is there a way to find out
the first
how page? Many people clicked on Marty's show? How many people clicked on 42 minutes? How many people clicked on Always Record? Is there a
sure? There's a way. So I just have to find it, but you know, if I dig this up tomorrow, you know, it should be good.
I don't even know if it is the right answer, but you guys, Marty, I think you get what I'm saying. Like, this way you can say, hey, listen, yeah, we have 500 subscribers, but obvious, like, if we're able to see this number of them, like, the popular show, and if there's something that's really getting all the clicks, they should get their share of whatever's coming in, because they're theoretically the one that's bringing in the money, right?
Yeah, no, that's a great way to do it, because then it could be based on individual episodes, like Doug was saying too, because, hey, we had this guy come on and it had 500 views or 900 views or whatever. Well, I brought in the most money that month, kind of thing, and then just in some kind of percentage-wise directed towards
exactly,
that person.
Yeah.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, good to have you back, man.
All right, so my connection seems okay. So what, can you just catch me up to speed real quick?
Well, we've solved all the problems of the world.
Yeah.
Yes.
We figured out a way.
It was a conspiracy. We figured it out. Sorry.
We each get $15 a month.